For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
He just formed a fucking wall.
O'Neal deep in the post, lots of contact there. Oh, what a block by Wallace! What a jump ball!
Team down 4, 12-8, 7-38 to play the first. A burst from Rodney, stuck into the rim! Count up, baby, and a foul!
Reggie inside for Andre, and a dynamite dunk!
Pistons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network. I am Mike Anguilano, and as always, I am with Aaron Johnson. Aaron, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Mike. Shaking up to be a pretty interesting trade deadline. A lot of potential action for the Pistons. We'll see if anything really happens, but excited to break it down and look at the possibilities, the players, and all of that good stuff to do here today.
Yes, absolutely. And this will be more of a trade deadline centric podcast, as the deadline is just a couple of days away. There's a lot of potential players on the move, a couple of Pistons players on the move, of course, and some bigger name players across the league who could be moved. And we'll talk about the implications of them being moved and how the Pistons could maybe get involved in any of those sorts of transactions. They could be a team that facilitates some things as a third team. You know, moving some money around, you know, they're potentially going to have some salary cap space this offseason. So they could play into things, and we will break all of that down. Aaron, it's beautiful outside. The sun is shining. Spring is actually here, I think. I'm not looking at any more 35-degree days anymore. I think we've made it through the doldrums of the NBA season, January, February. And we are in the midst of one of my favorite times as a rebuild, as a fan of a rebuilding team. This is a fun time, the trading deadline.
It most certainly is a time of anticipation, and there's an intrigue around rebuilding teams right now. You mentioned spring. I'm very happy as well that that kind of weather is here and we're at this time of the year. Was able to get out and golf yesterday for the first time this season. So it's a great time, and when you talk about rebuilding teams and why this is such an intriguing time for them, and you know, the possibility to shake up your roster and add assets or free up cap space is, you know, this is also a point in the season where, you know, those teams that haven't had a lot of success may turn their direction and sell players and open up minutes to give to their young prospects on the team. And maybe there's a guy in the G League that gets a call up and, you know, ends up playing really well to end the season and earns himself a sizable paycheck in the offseason. So there's a lot going on for the potential of teams right now in terms of finding youth, developing youth, adding assets to build your franchise with and around. So it's a very, very important time as well, not just interesting and intriguing.
Right. And just to sort of set some baseline things that we've noticed, and Aaron, feel free to add on if you think I missed anything. But some things that are going to occur during this trading deadline that are just sort of different than previous ones. First off, is that we're in the middle of a pandemic, which is going to throw a wrench into a lot of different things. The playoffs have been expanded to essentially include 10 teams in each conference. So more teams, quote unquote, make the playoffs. That's definitely going to factor. We know teams want to make the playoffs. That has been incentivized with the changing of the lottery odds for the bottom three teams. So now there is less of a need to tank, more of a need to get your teams into the playoffs and have those players make some meaningful contributions in a playoff setting. So more teams making the playoffs widens the pool of potential buyers and lessens the pool of potential sellers. So that is very important. And a lot of the free agent class does not look particularly enticing. A lot of those guys have already signed extensions. We know Giannis signed an extension. You know, Anthony Davis signed an extension. We know that LeBron James signed an extension. So the pool of potential free agents has sort of withered away. And a lot of the big name players that would be interesting to be free agents are restricted free agents or have player options. Those include Jared Allen, that includes John Collins, just to name a few. Aaron, did I miss anything? I think that kind of sets the ground rules for today's discussion.
No, I think that's good. I think, you know, we're on the same page of where we're headed with this kind of discussion and all those names that are going to come up in this mix.
And those names will come up in this mix, but something that has been percolating a little bit over the past couple of days, maybe a week or so, is Victor Oladipo. Oladipo was mentioned as a potential target for the Pistons. And quite frankly, I don't like this move at all. If Detroit were to go and get Oladipo, he doesn't fit the timeline at all. He's 28 years old. He's not quite the player he once was with the Indiana Pacers. But he is a guy who can score at all three levels. He is a guy who has been part of winning teams before and has been in the postseason and could be a nice, stable veteran with a young team. Many, many teams are looking in on Oladipo, including the Heat and the Knicks. So there would be some competition from some playoff teams in the Heat and the Knicks. Shockingly, we're talking about the Knicks as a playoff team, but here we are. Aaron, what do you think about Victor Oladipo as a target for the Pistons?
Yeah, it really doesn't make all that much sense to me. It really doesn't seem like he's a guy that fits this type of franchise and where they're at currently. Victor Oladipo also hasn't particularly played the best basketball of his career recently, specifically with Houston, and, you know, dealing with those injuries towards the end of his time in Indiana certainly did not help him. It's just not a guy that, if I'm the Pistons, I'm looking at very hard. I'm trying to make a move to go get him. That's not where I would be at. The way I look at the Pistons is this is, you know, they'll call it a retooling, whatever. This is a rebuilding team, right? Victor Oladipo is a guy that's likely going to cost you multiple assets unless you're trading a guy like Sadiq Bey, who Detroit probably does not want to move. And it just doesn't make all that much sense to me. You know, I could see a guy, you know, some different prospect level guys like a Marvin Bagley or someone like that, perhaps drawing some sort of interest from Detroit. But Oladipo is who he is, you know, in terms of reaching his potential, reaching his peak. And he has not been playing the best basketball, so he may never get back to his peak, which was a very good player a couple seasons ago in Indiana. It just really doesn't make a whole lot of sense for Detroit. There's, you know, money you tie up in that, the discussion of extending him and re-signing him. It's not a situation that I'm too tempted to be in if I'm Detroit. That's a player that I would likely be staying away from.
So maybe one of the ground rules we should have also talked about is what should the goal be for Detroit in this deadline? It's a very different looking deadline. Like we said, there's a lot of players who are probably not going to be free agents, or at least they won't be unrestricted like a Collins or a Jared Allen. So you don't really want to go after them because it doesn't make too much sense if you don't want to pay them long-term. But maybe we should have set some ground rules. First off, for me, I don't know why the Pistons are clearing cap space right now. We kind of talked a little bit about this in the Palace of Pistons group chat. I don't really know why they're clearing space unless they want to be like the Nets a few years ago and just throw out offer sheets at Tyler Johnson and Alan Crabb and force teams to pay them or, you know, risk the unknown of not having them on the roster. But I mean, I think Detroit should be trying to put together some trades for some of their middle of the roster guys that have some value and try to acquire as many assets as possible.
That's exactly where I'm at as well. I think you look at this Piston roster and there's 3 to 4 guys that you could very easily move here at this deadline to recoup some sort of an asset. Obviously the name that everyone's expecting to be dealt is Wayne Ellington, but you also have guys like Mason Plumlee and Delon Wright. You know, this is an entire separate conversation, but even a guy like Jeremy Grant has a ton of trade value right now. And I know the Pistons have not expressed any interest in dealing him, but that's something that you at least have to look at considering that they're reportedly being offered multiple first-round picks for him. So they have guys that can bring back equity and can bring back assets for this team to use. And they should absolutely be looking to be very active at the deadline, even if trading one of those guys comes at, yes, you get an asset back or you get a couple assets back, but you also have to take on, you know, a heavier contract. Detroit is in a position where they can do that, and they should be doing that.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. And they're kind of in a nice spot. We've talked about the state of their rebuild. It's a pretty good rebuild. I would call this a successful rebuilding season, playing bad and losing and putting yourself in a good position to get a nice pick, but also seeing some growth from the rookies as well. So, yeah, the Pistons should be trying to accumulate as many assets as they possibly can and use the middle parts of the roster. They don't really have any need to trade Jeremy Grant. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He's been very good this year. Maybe if you get absolutely blown away by a team, then you might have to have a quick meeting about it, but they're not going to move on from him. They should focus on the middle of that roster. And then in terms of needs, we talked about their need for a shooting guard, and Victor Oladipo does fit that. He is a shooting guard or a combo guard. He's been playing pretty poor this season, partially due to injury, partially due to the fact that I really don't think he wanted to be in Indiana, and I really don't think he wants to be in Houston. So that's got to be affecting things. He's shooting 31% from three. That is in the 19th percentile per cleaning the glass. He's shooting 47% effective field goal. That is in the 14th percentile. His offensive game is quite a bit off. He's never been a truly fantastic shooter. But he's shooting extra poor this year. I mean, not even 32% from three. So, I mean, maybe it's a little bit better at the rim, but he's not been playing particularly well this year. So what the Athletic is saying Houston is interested in seems to be a player and a first round pick, a young player and a first round pick. I think teams like the Knicks and the Heat would be able to get around to that and do that and probably be able to get a deal done. Is there any young player on this roster that you would be willing to deal for Victor Oladipo?
I mean, I guess if Detroit really, really, really wants Victor Oladipo, you can trade Sekou Doumbouya, since he's essentially not on this team anyway, the way that he's been, you know, playing and the way that he's been benched and those kind of things. So I guess you can trade Sekou Doumbouya for him as part of the package, but there's just no way that if I'm the Pistons, I'm giving up a guy like Isaiah Stewart or Sadiq Bey. There's just no rhyme or reason to doing that. Even a guy like Saben Lee, you know, who I don't know what his future in the NBA holds, but he has shown some nice things when he's been able to get out on the court. And does he ever end up being as good as Victor Oladipo? Probably not. But Oladipo, one has to want to play wherever he gets traded to, because he got traded to Houston, like you mentioned, and has not played well. And maybe that's a byproduct of him not really wanting to be there. So there's not really a point in trading for Oladipo if he doesn't want to play for your team, for your franchise, for your city, and he's just going to be a nightmare for you. Right. So I just don't see that there being a value in Detroit giving up a young asset outside of maybe Sekou Doumbouya. If you're dead set on getting Victor Oladipo for whatever reason, you know, there's no chance that I'd be giving up a Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart.
Was Troy Weaver part of the group that made the acquisition for Oladipo from Orlando with the Oklahoma City Thunder? I could check on that.
I mean, we know that Weaver liked some of the guys that he was around in Oklahoma City, right? So
yeah.
Jeremy Grant, obviously, Hamidou Diallo. He brought in Justin Patton during the offseason, even though he didn't stick around. That was a guy that obviously had connections to Troy Weaver.
Right.
So, you know, maybe that is another reason. Weaver does like his guys in OKC.
He does.
So
he likes guys he picks in general. I mean, there is a reason that Dumbuya is the only player from last year's roster on the team.
Right.
He wants to make over the entire team.
And he was with the Thunder, by the way, when they acquired Oladipo. He was the assistant GM.
That is interesting.
He was the VP of was a VP and assistant general manager for the Thunder during that time.
Interesting.
So maybe that's just another connection, and maybe it's maybe Oladipo wants to come to Detroit. I don't think so. You know, there's nothing that's been said that would say he wants to come to Detroit, but maybe
all the arrows point towards the Heat. There's always been this lingering connection of him to the Heat, and
or Lowry.
It takes two to tango. What if what if the Heat are like, yeah, you were kind of horrible this year and you want a lot of money and we're just sort of getting ourselves out of salary cap purgatory. I don't really know if we want you. You may want us. I don't know if we want you. I mean, it takes two sides to make a deal happen. So I guess if you're the Miami Heat, I mean, are you giving up Tyler Herro? Is that too much?
I would say so.
I would
for
say
Victor
so
Oladipo,
too.
Absolutely. Remember this. He's not been a good basketball player, and his injury history is concerning. You know, this is kind of, in a way, comparable to Blake Griffin. You know, obviously Oladipo is better than that, but he has not been stellar, and the injury issues are a major concern over the last few seasons. So it's something that you have to be skeptical of when it comes to giving up an important asset. Or an important asset where there's multiple, you know, a player and a pick, you have to be cautious of that. And for a guy like Oladipo, who hasn't been an all-star, you know, for the past 3 years, 2 years, whatever, is seemingly on the downturn, already 28 years old. You're going to have a contract situation to deal with. You have to determine, is he worth it? And I just don't think he's going to be worth it when it comes to giving up meaningful young players and assets. I mean, Tyler Herro was gaining a lot of steam last year in the bubble. Obviously has not had that same amount of success this year, but still an important piece for Miami moving forward in the current and in the future. So you'd have to be getting back something of legitimate value that you know is going to help you. And maybe Oladipo going to Miami revives him. He wants to be there. He plays harder, whatever. Maybe it works out. That's something that you would need to know beforehand in terms of making that move.
Yeah, absolutely. We have talked a lot about Victor Oladipo, and I don't even think that has a prayer in happening, because I don't think he wants to come to Detroit, which means even if he is traded here and signs here for some unbeknownst reason, I don't really think I don't really think the Pistons are going to be getting a player that's going to drastically push them forward. You know, I don't think the plan is make the playoffs next year. We need to go get, a certified player in Victor Oladipo. So let's go ahead and move on. The Pistons have been linked to Aaron Gordon. That's probably the other name that has had the most discussion around the league. And a lot of teams are in on Aaron Gordon, Boston being one of them. The Portland Trailblazers and the Denver Nuggets are two others. Aaron Gordon, we have talked about him before, but it's worth mentioning again. Because he is younger, he does fit the timeline quite a bit more. He is a 7-year vet. That's still mind-boggling. What do you think about the Pistons going after Aaron Gordon?
Yeah, I think going after Aaron Gordon would be worse than going after Victor Oladipo, simply from the standpoint of your forward spots are pretty much locked in right now in Sadiq Bey and Jeremy Grant, unless you're moving Grant. And even so, Aaron Gordon seems to be worth a premium that I just don't think he's really worth, to be quite honest with you. They're talking about needing picks and a young player. And this is a guy that's averaging, 14-7, and he's never been an all-star, and he has his own injury concerns. Like, there's just no reason for him to be worth as much as Orlando's trying to get him, get for him. I don't know who is going to trade for Aaron Gordon, but it just should absolutely not be the Detroit Pistons.
I agree. And the positional overlap that Aaron Gordon presents just doesn't make any sense for the Pistons to get in on that. Boston makes a lot more sense. And even that does not seem possible. I will believe Aaron Gordon will be traded once it gets called in to the league and is done and done, because I feel like we've talked about Aaron Gordon on the trade block for 3 years now, maybe longer. I mean, the Magic just need to wipe the slate clean. And for any of these deals, whether it's Oladipo or Gordon, we haven't talked about it, but the Pistons could definitely be a third team to facilitate things, especially for anything that Boston does, because they're so strapped financially. They have this massive trade exception that is difficult to use because you can't combine it with anything. So the Pistons could definitely be a team that gets in and is a third team that sort of facilitates all the inner workings. You know, they take on some salary that Boston needs to shed to get Fournier and Aaron Gordon, for example, or whatever. And that I think is where Troy Weaver could really flex his GM muscles and sneak his way into a trade like the Cavs did for Jared Allen and nab a good player.
Well, maybe that's where Wayne Ellington gets moved as well. Maybe as part of that being that third team, Ellington on a cheaper contract, that's a contract that you can fit in there to, you know, get another asset back. And
definitely
in that way, a team's not only getting Aaron Gordon, but they're getting Aaron Gordon and Wayne Ellington. So it gives them, you know, some front court depth and talent, and obviously some shooting, which obviously every team wants. So that's a way, you know, another way that Detroit could get involved and be a more enticing option as a third team in a deal like that.
Yep. So I would say it's a no for both Oladipo and Aaron Gordon. But, and we'll do this one really quick because that's just all on speculation. Lauri Markkanen, the Bulls have been listening to offers for Lauri Markkanen, and some teams have already called about trading for him. Do you think the Pistons are one of those teams?
I would hope not. Kind of in the same boat. You know, you don't need him. You're rebuilding. You have Jeremy Grant at the four. You have Isaiah Stewart at the five. You have Mason Plumlee, who's still your center as of now as well. Markkanen's not a guy that really excites me. I don't view him as a Troy Weaver guy either. I'm comfortable with Detroit staying away from him, especially because Chicago is going to want back, a worthwhile asset, a worthwhile package.
What if you have to take on Otto Porter for it?
For the Pistons? Another guy that, I mean, unless you're getting an asset attached to Porter?
No, if Markkanen is that asset.
Oh, okay. So you're saying you have to take
a deal where he was basically a salary dump with Otto Porter, and they gave you Markkanen to take on Otto Porter.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. So the Pistons really wouldn't be giving anything up of value then in a deal like that, would they?
No, they wouldn't be giving anything up other than that they have to pay Otto Porter's contract. Because I've sort of floated that idea with the Cavs and Andre Drummond, because his contract is so difficult to match that they could take up, you know, the Cavs could take on Otto Porter's contract. Andre Drummond isn't expiring, but the Cavs, you know, send Jetty Osman for salary purposes, and then they get Lauri Markkanen back.
Yeah, I mean, I almost like that better for the Cavs than I do Detroit. I just really don't see the fit here in Detroit.
I don't think they need him.
I don't think so either.
I don't think they need Markkanen. Yeah, and Grant is a natural four anyway, and I don't really think that you need him either. Okay, let's see. So we've talked about some of the guys who are the really popular players around the league that we think are going to be traded, and maybe Kyle Lowry too. I think it changes every day if Kyle Lowry's on the move or if he's staying. I think Brian Windhorst of ESPN said he was quoted somewhere saying that he's either going to get a contract extension in Toronto or he's going to get traded. So yeah. It's really just flops and flips every day.
Every day.
So let's talk about the players currently on Detroit that we could see being moved. We talked about Jeremy Grant earlier when Boston was linked to him. Unless Boston is blown away, and I mean blown away, like to the point of it would be dumb for us to not say no, they're not going to move Jeremy Grant. I just don't believe they will do that, especially with how well he's playing. I mean, so what if you get two first round picks for him? If those two first round picks are from a playoff team that's going to end up in the 20s anyway, that doesn't really do you anything to advance your team. You're just going to get two low end first rounders. So it's got to be one, like a lottery pick, something significant that's really tough to turn down.
I do agree with that. I'm of the sentiment that Jeremy Grant is movable for a good package, but that package needs to include a higher level first round pick than your 25th and your 29th pick, you know, or, you know, something like that. They need to be getting a pick where they can get a lottery guy, a fringe lottery guy, rather than someone at the back end of the first round, because I don't think it's imperative that Detroit keeps Jeremy Grant. I'm fine if they do, but I'm okay with them moving him for the right price. It just has to be a worthwhile package, which I do think Troy Weaver is kind of that same mindset. I mean, he even said no one's untouchable, you know, if the price is right, or he said something along those lines. So I don't think it's likely that Grant is moved, but if you get a team that has a first round pick from a team that is losing and isn't very good, which has a chance to be a lottery pick, and you get something else along with it, I think Detroit should very much consider listening to a package like that.
Yeah, everybody has value, I think, is what I was kind of alluding to. You know, everybody has a certain price point. It's like, okay, they are worth that. And I don't think that the Pistons are going to receive that offer from anybody unless there is some desperation happening up here. But there are some other players who could be moved. You mentioned Wayne Ellington. I believe you had said that Detroit's seeking at least a second-round pick. Yes, and that
according to James Edwards.
Yep. So the Athletic reported that Detroit's seeking at least a second-round pick, and I think that they would be able to get that for Wayne Ellington, 42% from three.
They should be able to receive that.
Yes, some team will need that.
The hope was, you know, a couple months ago, the hope was that they were going to be able to get a first round for him. So, you know, maybe that's unrealistic, but you should absolutely be able to get at least a second round pick, no question about it, for a guy that's shooting the ball as well as he is, and you know, his capability to come in and fill it up on any given night.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't get a second rounder, then maybe 2021 is going to be as crazy as 2020. The rookie class, you know, there was a trade that, or a reported trade that didn't happen that the Pistons rejected, and that was Marvin Bagley for Sadiq Bey. Marvin Bagley of the Sacramento Kings for Sadiq Bey. Marvin Bagley, of course, the number two overall pick in the 2017 NBA draft, something like that. It doesn't matter because he's been horrible for his entire career with
Bagley the Kings. Was the second so pick in 2018
draft. Picked ahead of Luka Doncic, of course, which will go down in infamy. He's not worth Sadiq Bey. Did the Pistons make the right move?
I feel like this is one of those, you know, trade talks where Adrian Wojnarowski was talking about how there's been a lot of you know, stuff going on this year where it's second, you know, assistant GMs or people lower down the totem pole calling and making offers on behalf of other teams, just kind of throwing stuff out there that they know is going to get rejected. I feel like that's what this was. I think, you know, the assistant GM or a lower level front office executive from Sacramento called up Detroit and said, hey, you know, we're thinking Marvin Bagley for Sadiq Bey. And Detroit just kind of quickly hung up the phone and, you know, laughed it off. I mean, there's just no way that that kind of a deal is getting accepted by Detroit when Bey has had the season that he's had. Marvin Bagley has, you know, had some good games here and there in Sacramento, but has largely been unhealthy throughout his entire career. He's got some, you know, off the court issues, not necessarily for him, but with his dad, who has pretty famously been a problem on social media for the Kings this year, talking bad about the coaching staff and different players and whatnot. So that extra baggage, there's just no way that Detroit was going to accept a trade like that. So I'm not surprised that Troy Weaver or the team janitor, whoever Sacramento got in contact with to propose that trade, quickly turned it down.
I don't think that it was outlandish for the Kings to, you know, try to, you know, pull a fast one. But Marvin Bagley's been not good. and he's really a negative defensively. He's got some good offensive tools. He definitely does. He's got some injury problems too. Him and his dad, you know, his dad doesn't want him in Sacramento anymore. But, you know, unfortunately for his dad, the Kings can't get rid of him because nobody's going to give up a value that the Kings would accept. And then they have to swallow their pride and take that trade. And that's admitting defeat. And I don't know if the Kings are ready to do that yet. Maybe a full healthy season is what they need to, you know, before they move him to get some decent value back. But I hate to break it to them. He has not been very good. And the Pistons made the right move by keeping Sadiq Bey, even though he's probably almost the same age as Marvin Bagley. It doesn't matter. They made the right move. I like the idea of the Pistons taking Bagley on a flyer. I don't think that flyer needs to be trading Sadiq Bey in the process, personally. So
yeah, I do agree with that. I would not mind Marvin Bagley coming to Detroit, but it just can't be for a significant asset. I mean, I actually would not mind it at all. It's another big to work around with. Can probably more of a five, but you could get away with playing him at the four here and there. I wouldn't be opposed to it, but again, it just couldn't cost Detroit a significant asset. Now, if the Kings wanted to trade Bagley for Wayne Ellington and Mason Plumlee, that's a different story. You know, that's something that, yeah, I mean, that could work, but I don't see that being feasible either.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But if the opportunity presents itself to get a guy like Marvin Bagley during this reclamation period that the Pistons are in with Christian Wood and Josh Jackson playing well and whatnot, then I don't see it as a problem as long as they aren't giving up, you know, an actual asset in the process, or you know, maybe they take on bad money and that's their cost in the deal. But I don't think Bagley's good enough to be a, you know, paired with a salary dump either. So tough times in Sacramento, but the Pistons did the right thing. Isaiah Stewart's not going to get traded either, so we can probably put that to bed as well. Saben Lee has been playing pretty well. I don't think the Pistons are going to want to, you know, explicitly go out of their way to move him either. So we could probably put that to bed. But now DeLon Wright, Mason Plumlee are a little interesting. You already talked about Plumlee. And other playoff teams have inquired about Wright and Plumlee per The Athletic. DeLon Wright has been a pretty good veteran point guard, and those are pretty important in the playoffs. When you need a guy to run the second unit so that your lead doesn't break down, or, you know, helps provide a little bit of a boost if you're trying to make a little bit of a run with your second unit in, DeLon Wright can do that. Mason Plumlee's been pretty good as well. He's really made us eat crow since we both hated that signing so much in the offseason. He's played very nice. He's been a solid player, and plenty of playoff teams, I'm sure, would want and or need him for the backup big duties. Do we think one or both of these players gets moved by the deadline?
I think Detroit should be looking to move both of them. I think they should be looking to move Wright more than they should be Plumlee. Really wouldn't mind Plumlee staying with this group, at least for the rest of this season. I like that it allows Stewart to come along a little bit slower and not have all that pressure on him. But Wright is a guy that I would very much like to see Detroit move. They have enough point guards in I'm literally losing my train of thought as it's in my head, but they have enough point guards in Saben Lee and Dennis Smith Jr. and Killian Hayes due back seemingly within a week or two. You could probably get away with Frank Jackson playing point guard as well. Like, the Pistons are going to have enough point guard minutes to use on those guys to where DeLon Wright really isn't going to matter. And yes, I get you can play him at the two guard spot and play him, you know, in a 2-point guard lineup. I do understand that, and I see the merit behind it. It's a safety valve for a guy like Killian Hayes or Saben Lee to play alongside DeLon Wright. But if you can get an asset back for him, you should be doing that. I just think it makes the most sense long-term for this team. I don't think either of them gets moved, to be completely honest with you. I think both of them are going to be with this team, at least for the rest of this season. I don't anticipate them being dealt at the deadline. It just seems like Detroit is gearing towards moving on from Ellington. And then after that, you know, obviously Wright and Plumlee would be next, but I don't think those two get moved.
Yeah, I kind of hope that one of them does for the sake of stuff to talk about, but I have said this before and I'll say it again. I kind of think that this trade deadline is going to be kind of boring. We got some hype with Aaron Gordon and some hype with Victor Oladipo, and maybe there's a surprise trade that comes out of it or whatnot, but I just don't really know what else is going to happen. I mean, John Collins was kind of the interesting one because the Hawks were terrible and they didn't want to sign him. But they've won 8 of 9 now. Now they're in the playoffs. Now you can't really afford to get rid of John Collins unless you're getting back a player who can help you right now.
Right.
Jared Allen was already moved. And the Cavs are probably going to sign him or match whatever offers he gets, because they want to keep him. They want to have him with the two young guards, and that makes sense. So it's like two of the more restricted free agents are kind of – so those guys are kind of off too. So where does that leave the trading deadline? I mean, a Mason Plumlee trade shouldn't be the headline of a trading deadline, but it could be one of the three, you know, bigger moves that happens, which is kind of a bizarre thing to think about. So some other guys that maybe will get traded, maybe won't get traded. We talked about Sekou Doumbouya a lot the last pod and probably the pod before that. Any other ideas about if Sekou Doumbouya gets moved, since he continues to just not get minutes and get passed over almost by everybody? Passed over by Tyler Cook.
Yeah. I'm not betting on Doumbouya getting moved. But that being said, I also wouldn't be shocked if it happened. It just really does seem like he's fully in terms of being a part of this core. So I wouldn't be shocked if he gets traded. I'm not betting on it. I don't really know what his future holds, and I don't know what his value is around the league. Do people view him as kind of an outcast that just really needs a legitimate chance and maybe just needs a change of scenery? Or do they view him as a guy that isn't really going to live up to the hype, but, you know, they'll just take a chance on? Why the heck not? If you're, you know, a team that has some minutes to give up in the front court, I don't know how he's viewed around the league. And, you know, that being said, I don't know if it makes sense for Detroit to trade him.
I think it's hard for other teams to value him when he doesn't play.
Right.
I mean, being passed up for Tyler Cook, that is not a skill set thing now. Now we're at a point where, this is a guy who just doesn't have the effort. You know, Dwayne Casey talking about minutes going out to players that are practicing hard. And you see Tyler Cook getting minutes before Sekou Doumbouya. Now we're talking about a lack of effort, lack of motor thing. And that to me is that's how players get moved to their first or second year into the league. You know, it's one thing to have a motor and just be not good at basketball, not a good shooter, you know, don't have the physical tools to rebound or box out. But when you don't have a motor to play, that's a whole different ball game that Detroit is going to, you know, maybe that does speed up the timeline of, yeah, you know, we got guys who are trying, we got guys who are playing hard, like Saben Lee busting his butt to play, Sadiq Bey going from, you know, what is he going to be to, it happens that he was the player of the week once, and, you know, he is a tremendous shooter and looks to be a very good role player, very, very good role player in the future, if not more. And you have Josh Jackson, you know, bottom of the league, trying to make it, busting his butt too. And now he's turned into, you know, a very nice piece for the Pistons, and Sekou not quite having the same desire. And that stuff sort of lingers around a team. You know, he was a first round pick. There was a lot of hope for him. He's got these physical tools that make him imposing, and then he just doesn't really fit because he doesn't have that motor. He doesn't have that, that mindset that the rest of the team has. And I think that's really concerning, to be quite honest.
I agree. It's not a situation that I thought we were going to be in with Doumbouya. I thought it was always going to be a take it slow mentality. Like, you know, yeah, last year him kind of being thrown into the fire randomly was not something that I anticipated. It completely changed the complexity of the Dumbuya development process. It definitely did not help that the Pistons did not have a G League team this year. I thought it was an incredibly poor decision by the franchise to not put out a G League team for Dumbuya, for Saben Lee. I thought that was just an awful, awful mistake. We're seeing the repercussions of not having a G League team and how it's affected Dumbuya. But it is concerning that things like effort are being questioned. And I guess time is going to tell rather quickly if Dumbuya has a spot with this team or in this league. He's got to start showing that he cares a little bit more in terms of playing with more energy on a nightly basis.
I mean, when we were potting and talking about Blake Griffin being moved, we both sort of said, hey, this is it. This clears the logjam. And now Saquon Dumbuya can get his play time, and it's not happening. And I mean, there's still plenty of season to go, but Troy Weaver likes his guys. He likes guys that he decides upon, that he wants and that he moves for and trades for and whatnot. And if Sekou's not holding up his end of the bargain, then I could see him being flipped. I don't think it'll happen right now, like you said, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was attached to another piece to sweeten a pot or something. Just as a raw talent, and he is raw. I'm not saying the Pistons should give up on him, but he does need to show some more things if they are going to make good on that pick. And James Edwards also mentions in his piece from The Athletic about Josh Jackson being moved. I don't think Josh Jackson is going to be traded, but his value is pretty high right now. What do you think about moving on from Josh Jackson and basically turning a player with very little value into other nice higher assets?
I would prefer to keep Josh Jackson. I actually would like to see him with this team for the long term. I think he's a very nice player to have coming off your bench, as a guy that can score in a multitude of ways, is athletic at the rim, will drive to the basket, isn't afraid to take shots, will shoot from the outside, has improved as an outside shooter. I'd really like to keep Jackson moving forward. And, you know, unless Detroit's getting something of legitimate value where they can feel that they're coming away with something that, you know, they otherwise wouldn't be able to get, I would like to keep Josh Jackson.
I agree. I really don't think there's any there's really no need to move on from it. I don't know what his value is around the league. It's probably higher than, well, it's definitely higher than it was, but you want to keep some of these players. Like we talked about Christian Wood leaving in the offseason. You know, you rehabilitate these players, you want to keep some of them. You don't want to see them walk away. And Josh Jackson's a guy who has rehabilitated his value. Dwayne Casey has taken him under his wing. You know, you want to keep some of these players. So they should not move on from Josh Jackson. I think that pretty much covers all of the trade deadline talk for Detroit. Overall, we kind of both agree that there's going to be at least one move. Probably, I will say the Pistons make two trades. What do you think?
You think they're going to make you like have like an idea of who they're going to trade? Like, what do you think?
I'm going to say Wayne Ellington and DeLon Wright are out.
Okay. Okay, if I was to say two guys were to get traded, I'd say Ellington and Wright as well. I think they just make one trade. I think it's Wayne Ellington.
Okay, so you're taking the under.
Sure.
That was probably the line. Move, considering I just hyped or unhyped the trade the trade deadline by being boring. Now I think there's going to be two moves from the Pistons. Now I'm just backpedaling. I'll say two moves because Troy Weaver likes to make trades, and the bigger pool of teams wanting to make the playoffs, it's going to force a couple of GMs to squirm in their seat, and then they'll just kind of pull the trigger. I don't think that Kyle Lowry is going to get moved. Maybe Daryl Morey gets itchy and just goes and makes a trade for DeLon Wright to give them that other point guard.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's the sort of stuff that makes the trade deadline interesting.
No, I agree. I think Detroit could have, a crazy deadline. They could go on. They could make 3-4 trades. You know, they could end up in multiple different deals. They could be that facilitating third team, like you also mentioned. We discussed a little bit earlier in the podcast. But I could also see them really just kind of taking it easy and making one trade. They did just recently make a trade for Diallo, so you can kind of call that a trade deadline move as well. So, you know, I'll say I'm just going to remain like passive in terms of how aggressive the Pistons are at the deadline. I think it's going to be a little bit quieter, but I could also see on the flip side them moving all of Ellington, Wright, and Plumlee, and maybe Sekou gets moved as well. And maybe there's, you know, a trade that includes multiple of them in one deal. So, you know, yeah, we got a couple days to see how this all shakes out.
Yes, we do. And we are planning on doing another podcast after the trade deadline to talk about some of the moves that have been made. If the Pistons make a few moves, we have plenty of stuff to talk about. But we could also talk about the players who get moved that will impact the Pistons maybe for a few years. Maybe Aaron Gordon gets traded to some team in the Central Division. Maybe maybe the Pistons make more than the two trades that I am guessing. We'll have plenty to talk about. We're very, very excited to. So look for another pod this week. But before we go, Aaron, I got just a rapid fire. Aaron Gordon gets traded. Where is he going to go?
Oh, come on. I'm not prepped
for these. Is he going to go nowhere?
No, he's getting moved. He's getting moved. All right, I'll go wild card Denver.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. Okay, Victor Oladipo is going where?
Miami.
I like it too. Do you think they can move Kendrick Nunn? Like, could that be the young player that they move?
I think so.
Move,
yeah.
They just move Kendrick Nunn.
Rockets have shown that they're willing to take on some of those guys that have maybe, you know, obviously what Kendrick Nunn is, you know, had dealt with.
Checkered history.
Yeah, very checkered. Not to get into all of that, but there's a lot of reason to be skeptical of him. Let's just say, yeah, checkered history. They are a team that would be willing to take him on.
Interesting. Okay. So, Depot to the Rockets, Aaron Gordon to the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, let's go with it.
I like it. I like it. I think Portland would be a great spot for Aaron Gordon as well, and I think, ooh, they can make it happen.
Yeah.
Gary Trent, yeah, and some, I like stuff.
That. Yeah.
Impending free agent Gary Trent. Okay. So, you know, it's a really slow deadline when Aaron Gordon and Victor Oladipo are the biggest names. Victor Oladipo, by the way, 29 games this year. He only played 19 games last year. He played 36 games the year before. So he has not played. He has only played 70 games four times in his career. So he's had some injury problems, and he has them now. So, okay, Aaron, anything else on the trading deadline that you want to touch on before we wrap up this pod?
No, I think we're good. I think we covered a lot, and I'm excited to look back into this at the end of the week to look back at what all shook down, how close we were, how right we were, things
how
of that nature.
We were
probably more so how wrong we were. Yes. I didn't want to go there, but you clarified
it. I will. I have the self deprecating humor. So after the Pistons make five trades and you know, Nikola Jokic is moved in a massive MVP type trade, we'll be terribly wrong, and I'm sure the deadline will have some interesting things to talk about. And we can't wait to talk about all of it with you later this week. So for Aaron Johnson, my name is Mike Anguilano. Thank you very much for listening, and you will hear from us later this week as we talk about the wrap-up of the NBA trading deadline. Thank you all very much.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.